Father, we just thank you that we can be here this evening and look forward to learning from your word. We thank you for Brother Jim and his teaching ability. We just pray for those who are usually with us and can't make it tonight. And we pray that you would just bring them back soon. Thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Maybe the heater's going to work. Maybe. Hopefully. First person singular, what is it? I. Second person singular, Brother Dick.
You.
You. Third person singular.
He.
He. All right. All right. Go to John, the 15th chapter and verse number 17. John 15, 17. Tauta. Entolemai. Hemen. Hina. Agapete. Allelus. And actually it starts out here, Entolemai. Entolemai. I command these things to you all. That's how it should actually be. I command these things as Tauta, Entolemai, Hemen. But you go this way. You start out with Entolemai. I command to you these things in order that. That's the way it goes. If you want to write those orders down there, you can. Entolemai should be number one. Number two is Hemen. You all. All right. Tauta, these things in order that ye love. Look at that word. Agapete, second person plural, imperative, indicative, active, that you do this, that you love one another. You know, John was the only apostle to live very long. The other ones died pretty young. The apostle John, some historians say, lived in Ephesus, pastoring that church till he was 138 years old. And they had to carry him to the church in a stretcher, because he couldn't walk anymore. And he'd get there, and you know what he'd preach? This verse right here. Over and over and over. John was extremely repetitive. He says something, and then he repeats it. He says something, and he repeats it. He did it when he was young and when he was old, too. It didn't go on with age. He didn't get senile. But he thought that that was the most important thing. These things I command to you all, in order that ye love one another. Ye love. You love one another. Now, what is the word love there, Mal? What kind of love is this, Brandy? What kind of love is agapeo? You remember?
Isn't it like holy? I don't know. It's totally escaping me now.
It's a holy love. It is a God. It's a divine love. It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that you will give your life for somebody. All right? Now, storge. There's a word, storge. Storge. All right? That is kind of the love that you have for your children, your husband, and things. All right? Now, there's another Greek word. Oh, that's pretty good. I'm glad it doesn't smell too bad. Some of it is really strong. Here's storge, that means a family love. Now write this down in your little booklets there so you remember this. When you write something down, you get it. Storge means family love. This is, means the love of familia, of your family, all right? And then philo. What about philo? We get the word Philadelphia from this word, comes from this word. How about philo? What does philo mean?
Brother.
Huh?
Brother.
Well, no, it Philadelphia means brotherly love. But philo means what? You remember, Christine? Anybody remember? That means to have a strong affection for. The strong affection. And these are the words, philo and agapeo, that Jesus used when he asked Peter three times, do you like me? First of all, he asked him two times, do you love me? Will you give your life for me? And Peter kept saying, you know, I like you. He wouldn't say he loved him. Not after that cock crowing. And he did it just three times, like the three cockerels. You know, like the three times he denied him. And the last time he says, Peter, do you even like me? And that's the word philo. Do you like me? He didn't ask him if he loved him. And then it says Peter was grieved because he didn't ask him the third time if you love me. Then there's another word in Greek. And this is not really in the Bible, but it is there. Eros. We got a word erotic from that, and that means a sexual attraction. Eros. All right? And then we have another word for love also, and this one here is a twisted love. This is the kind of love a prostitute has for her buddies. It is a twisted, wicked love. People are caught up on pornography and stuff. That's the kind of love. They love that. This is the kind of love. This is where we get the word prostitute. It means it's the word for homosexual, all of that. It's this term covers all of those.
What's your fourth letter there?
Poneria. That's epsilon.
Epsilon.
Yeah. Poneria. Okay, these are the words for love. Okay? Agapeo is always a sacrificial, divine, high, above love. There's words for mind in Greek also. The highest word for mind and intellect is what? It's a woman's name. Very famous woman. Sophia. Sophia. Sophia, that's a very high. We'll get into them another time. I command to you all these things in order that ye love one another. And John used to say, they'd drag him in the church and he'd say, love little children, love one another. You know, that's what he wrote in the Gospel of John. All his writings say the same things. Jesus is God in flesh and love one another. That's the story. Jesus is God in flesh and love one another. And the world is no good. Now, if you go from John, the first chapter, all the way to the last chapter in the Gospel of John, you'll just see him repeating certain things over and over and over again. Now, unless your attention is called to those things, you'll just say he's thinking a different subject over here. But no, he's repeating himself. He's repeating a strong foundational truth. Okay? And here he's going to do it again in 5:15-18. The world's hatred. He said it in John the first chapter. He said it again in John the third chapter. Now he's saying it again in John the 15th chapter. John the first chapter thought, the light came into the world, but the world would not receive it. He came unto his own, but his own wouldn't have him. And here he says it again. He said it in John the third chapter. John 3:18 says, for what? I didn't come to condemn the world, but the world's condemned already. Why? Because they didn't want to see the light. They refused the light. And he contrasts light and darkness. Light is God, and darkness is Satan, and the powers of Satan. He just says it over and over and over again. A whole cosmos. Okay, guys. A whole cosmos. Himas. Mise genoskete. Hote. Eme. Proton. Himon. Mamise. Ken. Now we have a first-class conditional particle. The first thing that's there. That's A. First-class conditional particle. Can anybody recite the rule for that? Condition determined as fulfilled. There are four classes of conditional in Greek. In English, we only have an if. But this if in Greek is not really an if. It is a since. It's since. Since the world. All right? Since whole cosmos. God so loved the what? The world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's a beautiful verse. But it means that he loves the cosmos. He loves the dirt out here that you walk on. He's going to redeem that one back one of these days. He's going to buy it back. Everything. He's going to buy it all back. Except for those souls that refuse him. Since the world, ye, it hates. Look at that word, me say. Brother Dick, now look at the ending on that word, me say there. See that right there, me say?
Can you write it because it's really
Oh, really? Nisei. What is this? Now, you look right down below it. It tells you, but look and remember what it is. Misei. Say this with me. O, ace, A. Okay. I, you, he. And that's present indicative active. All right. Singular. All right. So it is he or it. She, he, or it in the Greek language. It's either she or he in Hebrew. There's only two genders in Hebrew. There's three in Greek. Now the world, ye, actually it should literally say he hates. Because what world is he talking about here? Ephesians the second chapter, Ephesians the sixth chapter. What world is this? This is the world that is under the power and control in the energizing energy of Satan himself. Okay? That's the world. Now, if the world he hates. This is the power of darkness he hates. He hates you. All right? Genoskete. Genoskete. Now, remember what I said a while ago? Remember we have O-S-A, Omen, Eti, Usi, Ain. So what is this? Ye know. Ye plural. Ye plural. Ye know. That. M-A. Look at that word me there. We get our word me right out of that word, Dick. M-A. Me. Me. That English word me comes right out of the Greek word me. The English word in comes out of the Greek word in. All right? Me there, that is accusative singular. That me before you all, it has hated. And it still hates. Look at that word. Proton. Proton means before. Ye, you all. It has or he has hated me. Third person singular, perfect indicative active. Perfect tense means what? Perfect tense. What's perfect tense mean? Levitic, perfect tense.
Completed.
Completed action. A plus. In there. We won't have to shoot you out the door. You either get an A in my class or you're dead. One or the other. All right.
Now, Brother Jim, on that, has stated that the U epsilon.
That's the ending on perfect tense.
So at the beginning of the word.
See that word mise up there?
That means the past tense?
Okay, no, well, yeah, it's completed action. Third person singular, perfect indicative, indicative active. Third person singular, perfect indicative active. Now look up there at the beginning, the line above it. Just up there, it's mise, isn't it?
Yes.
Mise, it is actually miso. See down below there where it says third person singular, present indicative active, then it says mise, misio. Misio is present indicative active. See that? Now down here we're jumping down. We're coming from misio, but now we have put a prefix on it and made it perfect tense. All right? And then we put the perfect tense ending on it. See, the aorist and all of them, they change the root of the word a little bit to tell you that it's changed. It's either aorist, perfect, or something else. See, now it's a memiskein. Before, it was mise. Miso, mise, misio, mise, 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 memomen, memete, memusi, memain. That's how you would conjugate that word, that verb right there. Okay.
The word is still hate.
Yeah, it means to hate. Active hatred. Okay. 15 and verse 19 now. 15 and verse 19. Christians are a reproach to the world. Once somebody finds out if they're an unbeliever, they find that you're a Christian, they'll find all kinds, they'll start tearing you apart. They have their own standards for themselves, but for you, if you're a Christian, man. You've got to meet all of their Christian standards. Brother Martin Canavan one time, his first radio convert, as he called him, became a preacher. And I can't remember his name now. But Brother Canavan was preaching on the radio up, and he was up there by Visalia or Exeter or some Corcoran. He was up by Corcoran. And every day he was on the radio. He's preaching some message. He's a great evangelistic preacher. You can go hear him. About 100 messages on the website. They're out there. Anyway, he was preaching. And this guy, he would come to this man's house because his wife and children were really faithful in church, but he'd come to the guy's house and he'd sit there for 5 minutes and have all kinds of derogatory remarks about everybody in the church, and then he'd walk off and go out there and get in his car and drag this pipe behind his pickup and drag the weeds off of this 5 or 10 acres that he had out there. He'd go out there and last thing he'd say was, Dr. Canavan says, all Christians are all hypocrites and everything like that. Well, he wouldn't go to church. Finally, one time, Brother Canavan, the church service just started, and they were up there singing and going on in church, you know, like they do before service. And this guy, the back doors of the church just fly open. And this guy runs down the aisle and hits the altar. Before, you know, there's no invitation right now. It's just he's going to the altar. He's down there bawling and going on. And Brother Canavan, before he ever preached, he got down there and led the guy to the Lord, you know. And then after the church, he wanted to get baptized. After the service, you know, then he came up and wanted to be baptized and everything else. And he said to Brother Canavan, he said, now what I'm supposed to do? He said, everything you've said those are church members supposed to do. Don't tell me what am I supposed to do. You know what they're supposed to do. Now just start living your standards for them now. That's what you're supposed to do. He became a preacher. He drowned up at Lake Isabella years later, but he became a preacher. The world has great standards for you. Aren't you glad that the Lord has a little lower standard than that? All he does is spank our bottoms every now and gets us back in line, because we are unfaithful little servants most of the time. Act 2. Cosmo, ete, whole cosmos, on to idion, e file, hote de ek tu cosmo, uk este, al ego, ex elaxa men, himos, ek tu cosmo, di tuto, mise, himos, whole cosmos. All right, now let's go back up here to the top of that. I wrote some questions down there. Does the world hate you? They know you're a Christian? Some people are so cryptic that the world doesn't even know you're a Christian. You just hide out, you know, with the world. You can do that. If out of the world ye were, since out of the world you are, that's first class conditional particle, condition determined as fulfilled. Ye were, ye kept on being. Look at that word ate there. Now that comes from Amy, Brother Dick. See that down there below? See the root of that word? That's Amy. We're looking at ate here. Eta, tau, epsilon. It's second person plural, imperfect indicative active from Amy. Now, since out of the world, if you kept on being, that's the way it should be translated. The world, whole cosmos, what kind of world is this? What kind of world? How is John using the word cosmos? World. The world of Satan. World. The world under Satan's control. The darkness, the dark kingdom, Ephesians, the second chapter. Let me go there real quick. Ephesians 2. That's a beautiful, glorious book. I did all that book here, and it's all on Greek out there if you want to look at it. Kaihimais ontas nekros tus para potas tomasin. And it says, and being dead in the trespasses and in the sins of you, in which is then ye kept on walking up and down according to the age. The age of this world, according to the season of this world, according to the ruler of spiritual powers of the air, of the spirit that is now energizing in the sons. Look at that word sons there. It's wheels in Greek. You know what wheels means? Heirs. You know why? Because they had been born of Satan. These people are actually born of Satan. Boy, I mean, that's a scary term right there. I had one of my teachers one time wrote a whole book, A.J. Kirkland, on about 50% of that book is how some people are born of Satan like people are born of God. You know why they're so wicked? Because they have rejected the truth and then they got sealed with doom. That's scary, being sealed. Like you're sealed with God, they get sealed with Satan. You ever heard about selling your soul to the devil? Yeah, some people really do.
Where are you in Ephesians?
Oh, Ephesians 2 and 2. The one energizing in the sons of the ones not persuaded, in the disobedient ones, among whom ye all conducted your daily lives in the lust of the flesh of us, doing continually the wishes of the flesh and the understanding, children by nature of wrath, just as also the rest of those out there that remain in the powers of darkness. Can you say amen that you're not a child of darkness? Isn't that beautiful? That you've been wrested out of the clutches, the talons of evil itself and Satan. Because God does rescue us. Remember, rescue the perishing, the old rescue the perishing? We were all perishing. But the Lord Jesus Christ rests us out with his word. Okay? That we were, if you were, since you were kept on being of the world, it would keep on liking you. See that word, the word phile? Ephile. That's third person singular, perfect indicative active. See, we got a temporal augment in the front of it, that epsilon. The world would keep on loving its own. John goes back to the first chapter of John again now. You go back to the first chapter of John, let's look at that. He's repeating himself again. I want you to understand that. John is repeating something that he thinks is real important. Let's go back in the first chapter of John. I'm doing Gospel of John in Sunday school right now. I just got to the second chapter. John chapter 1. If I can ever get there. I've got an awful lot of other chapters in here in John. Now if I can read through all of my notes. That's another thing. You wonder sometimes I'm stumbling on the Greeks, not because I don't know Greek, because I can't read it. I throw all my notes. Okay? All right. In verse number 4, it says, in him was life. Well, let's go back up to 2. 1, or 3, I mean. All things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness will not accept it. The darkness won't. If you're a son of Satan, you won't accept it. All right? These people would seal themselves in doom. That Jesus said, you know, when John the Baptist said, who calls you to flee from the wrath to come? You sons of what? Of the serpent. All right. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. And then he goes on and tells the story that he bore witness. Verse number 9. That was true. That was the true light which shineth. And every man that comes into the world. God tries to reach every man that comes in the world. The Bible tells us that over and over and over and over again. Some sealed their doom with their volition. Some come. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him what? Not. Would not know him. Refused to know him. See what he's doing over here in the 15th chapter now? He came unto his own, and his own ones would not receive him. But as many as received him, he gave them the power to become sons, heirs of God. Even to they that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but right out of the Spirit of God. You're born the first time, you're born by blood, the blood of your father, the blood of wickedness. That you're infected with the infection of sin and eternal doom. And God tries to reach everyone with His Word. And the Word was made flesh. Literally says, and the Jehovah flesh He became and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten, out of the Father, full of grace and truth. He goes on, now look and see. In the 15th chapter, is John repeating the same thing he said in the first chapter? Over and over and over again he does. Because it was important in the first chapter and it's important in the 15th chapter. If out of the world, or since out of the world you were, the world would love its own things. It would keep on liking you because, but out of the cosmos not ye are. Not of the world system of Satan. You're not one of them. But I have picked out. And here's where we get the word election right there. It comes, you are elected. You're picked out. How did He pick us out? In Christ Jesus. Out of the world. I picked you up out of the world. Because of this. It hates, or he hates you, the world. Satan hates you. Have you ever think that Satan was following you on your heels sometimes? Just a little bit. If you're ever going to do anything for the Lord, you're going to have Satan right there on your heels because he don't want you to do that. You're a threat to his kingdom. You're a threat to his kingdom. Threat to the power in his kingdom. All right? Threat to the power of his world system. 1 John 3 and 3. John 15 and verse 16, 17 and verse 14, Matthew 10, 22, Matthew 24, 9, and the whole first chapter of the Gospel of John and the third chapter of the Gospel of John. Same story every time. The sixth chapter, the eighth chapter, the tenth chapter. He repeats himself over and over from a different angle. He'll come at it. He'll come from the front, from the side, from the other side, from the top, from the bottom, whatever. That's what he's doing. 15 and verse 20 now. 15, John 15, 20. Me mo nu ete. Tu logu. Hu ego. Epon. Hemen. Uk esten. Doulos. Mezon. Tu ka kurio. Autu. E ime. Ediozon. Kai, himas, diosusen, a ton logon mu, a tereson, kai ton emeteron, te ru susen. Now this comes from memenio. Our word memorial, service, memorial, memory, all comes from this Greek word. Okay? Our word memory, memorial, and all that comes from this word. Second person plural, present imperative active. You remember the word, of the word, which I have said. Look at that word I have said there, Brother Dick. You know what that comes from? What's the root of that word apon? Look down there at the bottom. What is it? It's changed completely. Because it's in second aorist. It changed. It's changed. The root has changed. Apon comes from Lego. 15 and 20 right on the right-hand side, right up there on the top line. First person singular, second aorist, indicative active. Of the word which I said to you all, not he is a slave greater of the owner of him. A slave isn't greater than the owner of him. In other words, you're my slave. What's the word for slave in Hebrew? Avad. Avad means somebody that's bought and paid for. That's the same word as doulos here. Avad and doulos. Let me write that down. Avad and doulos. Slave. Doulos. Same thing, bought and paid for. Somebody's owned by someone that's owned by another. You know, when you're out in the world, when you're under the power of Satan, you're owned by Satan. You are. You're never your own. You think you're your own? No, you're not your own. You're either owned by one or two masters. The master of the world, which he makes you think that you're doing everything according to the lust of your flesh. Just like Ephesians 2nd chapter just told us. We think we're doing our own thing, but we're not doing our own thing. We're doing our master's thing. And then when you're born again and the Spirit of God comes in you, you have true volition. Because now you can serve God or you can serve the flesh. Because God doesn't take us out of the body, does he? Brandy, when the Lord saved you, sometimes don't you wish he'd saved your every cell in your body too? We wouldn't be doing some of the things that we do. But that body is still going to die and go to the grave because it's infected indelibly. God made no provision for the flesh, but he did work on that spirit and soul real good, didn't he? He sent the spirit into you to work on your soul, and then the soul leads the body. The worst example of a Christian in the Bible was what? That we know of. Who was he? Of a Christian. Where's the worst example in the Bible of a Christian? You wouldn't even know he's a Christian unless it told us in the New Testament. He lived in the Old Testament time. His name was Lout. Lot. Lot was saved man. You'd never know it, would you? Miserable example of salvation. He went into a city like going and living in Las Vegas, down on the strip, just right there, you know, down in the middle of some horrible place where sin is this, you know, New Orleans, right down there on whatever street. Right in the middle of it, he lived in it and relished in it. He was vexing his righteous soul, wasn't he? So God took him out of it. Took him out. And the only two people that finally went with him were what? His two daughters, which were ungodly buzzards too. They were so ungodly, they got their father drunk and had sex with him and had babies. One, the first baby that was born was water from the father, Moab. And the second was born, people of my people, Ammon. In other words, my dad, the daddy is the father of us, and we're keeping the line. We're inbreeding here, you know. That's the whole story. And of course, we have Ruth, the Moabitess. She's in the lineage of Christ. Even God can even save one of them dudes, huh? Isn't that something? The forgiveness of God and the love of God as we see it. Remember the words which I've said to you all. Not his slave greater than the owner of him. And if me, or since me, it persecuted and tried to chase. That word comes from dioko. Look at that word. E diozon. That third person plural, first aorist, indicative active. First aorist means what? Sharon? First aorist. Knife blade punctiliar action. Punctiliar action. You knew that, didn't you, brother? Yeah. First aorist. Knife blade protect. If the world it run you down and persecute you. Also, here we have a word chai, which is on page 208. I don't know if it's written down or not. Only yours. You write that word chai, put down there 208 down there. It is a cumulative particle right here. Also, it can be and it can mean but. But right here it means also. Or yes. Yes, ye, they shall persecute. Since the word of me, look at the word, first class conditional again, A. Since the word of me, they guarded. Also, the yours, they shall keep. They shall keep guard. The world praises the word of Jesus, but oh, how it dreads to follow and to obey it. The worldlings. I remember in the old days. I'm a fossil. I'm an antique. They used to get up and preach, and they talk about the worldlings that dress like the world, that act like. They said, if you can't, if the world, if you don't smell different, look different, dress different than the world, you're a worldling. How in the world is the world going to tell that you're different than they are? Unless you look different, unless you smell different, unless you talk, unless you think different than they do. How in the world are you going to witness to the world with no witness? You got to be different. You got to be different. To have a witness, to have a testimony. 15:21. Allah. And that's not the Islamic word for God either. Tauta. Panta. Poye Susan. Ace. Himas. Dia. Tu onama. Mu. Hote. Uk. Oidasin. Ton. Pampsanta. Me. Now we have a strong adversative conjunction. That's what SAC means. Strong adversative conjunction, page 15 in that little analytical Greek lexicon. And it means diametrically opposed. That's what it means. Just like that. But. Strong adversative. We have a weak adversative conjunctive particle, which is they. We're not talking about that one. We're talking about a strong adversative conjunction. But. I want you to pay attention, he says here. But these things all they shall do. Third person plural. Future indicative active. This comes from poio. And look how the root changes here and the endings mean. They shall do unto ye because the name of me. Look at that word onoma there. What does that word onoma mean? Anybody remember what this word onoma means? This means by the authority, by the power. By the power. Exousia and nomos are two very important words. Nomos means by the name of. When you sign a contract, that contract has the power of your name, and you're there. When you sign a contract, it's done. You put your name to it. Now, that contract has power over you because you put your name on it to give it power over you. Yes or no? When you sign a contract for a house, a car, whatever, doctor bills, check. When you sign a check, what does that mean? You're going to pay for it. If you don't pay for it, then you are what you call an outlaw. You become a forger. You didn't pay it. You're not going to pay. You tried to deceive them. When you put your name on something, it has a power of it. When Jesus say, go do something in my name, he gives you the power to do it. Did you know that? Gives you the power. Because of the name of me, and because not, they have known. Look at that word. That comes from oida. Here we have oida seen. They have known. Third person plural, perfect indicative active. They have known the one having sent me. They didn't know my Father, so they don't know me. They don't know me, so they don't know you. It's going to be a wrestling match for the rest of your life, is what he said. Matthew 10:22, 24:9, Mark 13:13, Luke 21:12-17, Acts 4:17, 26:9, 5:41. 13:17, 9:14, 1 Peter 4:14, Revelation 2 and 3, John 8:19, 55, 16:3, 17 and 25, and John the 3rd chapter, John the 10th chapter, John the 8th chapter, John the 1st chapter, if you want to write all that down, because he just repeated what he said in all of those chapters. And then the other writers repeated what John said. Isn't that beautiful? The Bible is one book. Doesn't have a whole bunch of different authors. It's got one author, which is God. And we have some stenographers. Peter, James, John. Okay? 15:22. Ame Aelthon. Kai. Elas. Elalesa. Altois. Hamartion. Uk. Ekusan. Nin. De profasin, uk, exousin, peri, tes, hamartias, auton. As you can see, I made some mistakes a long time ago. And I had to correct them. Here we have a little idiom. A little idiom doesn't make sense, but it does make sense, okay? And that's ame. And it says, if not. If not, or unless, or since not, we have that little conditional particle, and then we have a particle of negation. I came, and that word comes from erkamai. Here, first person singular, second aorist, indicative active. You see how second aorist changes the root of that? L tone. It's erkamai is the root. I came, and I spoke. Elelesa, third first person singular, first aorist, indicative active from laleo. What does laleo and lego? What's the difference between laleo and lego? You remember? Brother Corey, remember the difference?
Lego means to pick out.
What? Lego means to pick out. What does laleo mean? Okay. Laleo. Brandy.
Is that just general word speaking?
No, it's got a real important diction here. What does it mean? Sharon, do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Brother Dick. Laleo means to be able to speak with your mouth, your tongue. When you speak, what do? You use your teeth. You lose your vocal box. You use your tongue. You use all of the forms of a speech in human language. The vehicle of human language is your voice. I spoke with a voice of humanity. I came to you, and I spoke your own language from someone that lived in your own flesh. The Goel. Goel. That's a real important word. Goel, what's a Goel mean? What? That, okay.
Kinsman
Redeemer. Very good. You got A plus. God became the kinsman redeemer. John 1:14 is the fulfillment of the Jehovah title. And Jehovah, the name Jehovah means what? He who shall become. Where did that? Where was that name fulfilled? One verse. John 1:14, Kai Logos Sarx Agenito. And the flesh or the word, and the word or the Jehovah flesh he became and dwelt among us. Okay. He became our kinsman redeemer. He became related to us. John just keeps on repeating all this stuff. And I spoke to them, sin not, they kept on having. If I didn't speak to them, sin not, they would have kept on having. They would have just lived in their religious garments, lived in their little religious, in a religious cloak, and they would have been just happy. But now I've told them that your religion is kaput. And now they have sin. And they don't like it because they like their religion. Why did the Jews say they wanted to kill Jesus when they knew that he was God? When they knew that he was the Son of God, when they knew that he was a Messiah of Israel, when they knew that he was a Basileia, the Melech of Israel. Why did they say they wanted to kill him? They said it. It's quoted in the Bible.
Because he's more popular than the Lord.
Because he will take our religion and our political status away from us. So let's kill him. It wasn't because he was doing anything bad. They accused him of blasphemy. Who was blaspheming here? Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, and they would never speak it. But there he was walking among them. And they were blaspheming that name. Exodus 20 and verse 7, thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain. Jehovah Elohim's name in vain. So they would never speak the name. If you look at a modern Jewish writing, you will always see this. Because they won't write the name of God. They'll say Adonai, Lord. But they will not try to pronounce that name, Jehovah, which he was. They will not try to pronounce that name. But they blasphemed him. They used his name in vain. They condemned themselves. Thou shalt not use the Lord thy God's name in vain, because there is no sacrifice for that sin. Done. In the Old Testament, there were sacrifices for what we call unintentional sins, but not for intentional sins. No sacrifice. And what did they do? They doomed themselves. The Sicarii just fed the fire. They didn't even like the Sicarii. The Sicarii were preying on them. These were the radical right wings. You know, we got the radical right wing, we got the radical left wing. Nobody had enough sense to walk down the middle. They just wouldn't do it. If you're a middle, you're a splinter. You're going to get splinters. You know, that's the way they thought back then, too. They went in one town and killed 7,000 women and children, the Sicarii did. And that's after they allowed Barabbas to be turned loose. That's the man that did it. They said, give us Barabbas, the son of the father. You know, that's what it means in Aramaic. Yeah. They got him. He captured the high priest's family. Asked a ransom for it. There's where we have the kidnapping. There's where we have the mafia, the mafioso. They didn't have to keep on, but now a cloak knot they have, they keep on having concerning the sin of them. I've made their sin evident. I've put their sin out in the light. I've shined the light upon their sins. And what did they do? Did they get sorry and repent and cry and say, forgive me, Lord, like that old publican did? Or did they stand up there like this Pharisee and said, I'm glad that you didn't make me a woman and you let me make me like them? That's what the Jews would say. I am glad that you didn't create me a woman and that you didn't create me a Gentile. That's the whole idea. I'm glad I'm not a woman. I'm glad I'm not a Gentile. They'd been better off if they were been Gentiles. Because a lot of the Gentiles, the church became a Gentile church, remember? Remember way back there in the book of Genesis where God predicted that it would be? That Japheth would dwell in the tents of Shem. They would take over his job because they refused to hear. Jesus made their sin evident to them. 15:23. Ho eme. Mison. Kai ton patera. Moom mese. The world, me, it keeps on hating. Look at that word, present. Nominative singular masculine, present participle active. The world just keeps on hating me. Also, the father of me, it hates. The world keep on hating me, and they hate my father. Now, what world is he talking about here? Who's giving him the most trouble? Is it Pontius Pilate? How about Herod? Even the son of Esau. Not giving him a lot of trouble. Herod even tried to protect John the Baptist, put him in jail for what we call protective custody from his wife and the Sicarii. And then his wife got in the back door, you know, when they taught their little girl to be a prostitute, and she got out there and danced, and he said, what can I do to have you? Half of my kingdom. And she said, he said, what is your price? And she said, what? The head of John the Baptist. And boy, did he fall through the floor. He knew he'd been tricked. 15:24, our last verse. A, ta erga, me ipoesa, en autois, ha udes, alos, epoesen, hamartion, uk, ekuson, nin de kai, yurikasin, kai, meme ne kasin, Kai ime, kai ton per tetera imu. If the works not I have performed, if I didn't do any works, I perform. Since the works not I perform. Look at that word, ipoiesa. That comes from poio. And that's first person singular, first aorist, indicative active. Among you, right in the middle of you, where you could see it easily. Among them, which is not one other he did. No one other has ever done the works of power, the miracles that I have done. Sin not, they kept on having. But now, both they have seen and they have hated both me and the Father of me. Remember when that rich young ruler and lawyer came to Jesus and told Jesus, Master, teacher, what may I do to obtain eternal life? And what did Jesus say to him? You remember what he said? Huh?
Sell everything you have.
No, no, no. That's not what he asked him a question. You remember, Brandy, what did Jesus answer that man?
Yeah, have you kept the commandments?
What? No, he said, what have you done? What did you do? Because it didn't work. It didn't work. Whatever you did didn't work. Okay? He said, what have you done? Oh, he said, from my youth, from a little old bitty toddler, I kept all the commandments. I've done all this. I've done all that. I've just done everything. I've done everything. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. The rich young ruler. One thing you lack. And what did he tell him now? Go sell everything that you have and give to the poor and come follow me. Boy, he would have been in a really... He lived in a high palace. He was going to live on the street now. He's going to be a street person. But boy, would his soul be flying with wings. But he didn't. The works which I did, no one other has ever done. Not sin they would have, but both they have seen. Look at that word, irakasin. Third person, plural, perfect indicative active. They have seen it. This word here comes from harao, and that means like to see on a stage, a well-lighted stage. Now, back in those days, they didn't have these 50-power candle-power lights or 500-power or 5,000 power lights, you know, like they have in the churches, you know, that shine and performers and all that kind of stuff. They didn't have that. What they had was candles or wick lamps, and they had finely, brightly polished silver backgrounds, or even gold sometimes. And all of these lights were around this stage, completely around, so there were no shadows. He said, they have seen my miracles like on a well-lighted stage with no shadows. What does the word aletheia mean? Aletheia. Aletheia, the woman's name, Althea, comes from that. What does the word aletheia mean? No shadow. It means truth. No shadow. There's no hidden things. Okay? Nothing has been hidden from you. They have seen it. And they have hated. Look at that word, misio. They have hated, third person plural, perfect indicative act. They have hated both. Here we have a cumulative particle again, out of Chi, both me and the Father of me. Only a few were able to stand and willing to stand up against the corruption of the Pharisees, the scribes and the Essenes. The Essenes were an exception. They started worship totally separate from this organized religion. Even practicing baptism, immersion, before the days of John the Baptist, they had been doing that. You know, baptism was something that the Jews practiced for a long time, and it always typified a washing, a purification. But baptism in the Christian church does not represent the washing and the purification. It represents a following, a conviction, a surrender. Baptism is a surrender. That's the first thing you can surrender in this world because you publicly put on Christ. You've already been saved. Your soul is already is indwelt with the Spirit of God. But when you put on Christ publicly, that means that you're putting Christ on. You're clothing yourself publicly with him. And you're committing yourself to follow him in some New Testament church somewhere where you can serve the Lord and where you will give your life to him. That's what you do in church. The Essenes are the Qumranians. They were the leftovers of the real priest and the real followers of God. when Herod was instilled into power by Antony and Cleopatra, he killed almost all the priests. Killed the whole, completely executed the whole Sanhedrin court at that time. And the refugees ran down to the Qumran caves where refugees had lived for hundreds of years. We don't know how long that Qumranian area was occupied by people of the book. Maybe 1000 BC. Maybe even before that. We don't know. It goes way back. And the refugees from Herod the Great went down there. And they wouldn't have anything to do with the Jews up there in Jerusalem. They said they were kaput, that they were corrupt. And they were. We had another group just a little bit further from them, the Samaritans, that worshipped upon Mount Gerizim. And Jesus went to Samaria. And those people, those what they called rejects, they were half-breeds, half Assyrian and half Israeli. He went there, and when he went to Nazareth and announced his messiahship or messianic credentials, they tried to kill him. When he went to Jerusalem, they tried to kill him. When he went to Samaria, whole villages were converted. These were the derelicts of religious society at that time. Remember what that woman that had been married 5 times said to him? We worship on this mountain, you worship in Jerusalem. Which one's right? I want to know what to do. He said, what? What did he say to her? He said, you worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know. For what? Salvation is of the Jews. So he answered her question, didn't he? Jerusalem's the right place. But time is and now is that when all that worship God will worship him in spirit and in truth. So you know what? It don't matter. Jerusalem's not going to matter anymore either. Because I already took my... I've taken over the reins of my kingdom. And now you follow me. Those that worship the Lord will worship him in spirit and truth. And she had begun to worship him. We went from 17 to 24. We covered a little bit of ground tonight. Do you have any questions? Randy, you got any questions? I haven't had you in here for so long. Good to see your face again. You have a question tonight?
Only technical. How do you know if you're looking at Chi when it's cumulative?
When it's a conjunction?
Yeah.
When it's a strong conjunction? When it's a whatever? Cumulative particle? Syntax. Syntax. Syntax means what? Not a tax on sin.
Right.
According to the sentence structure. Mm-hmm. That's what it, and you use it. It. Sometimes it means almost the same thing as Allah. Sometimes it means almost the same thing as Amen. Or Nay. You know. Mm-hmm. All right? Syntax. Basically, syntax. Anything else, Sharon? You got any questions?
No.
Mark? Rhonda? Christine? Good to see you back there. What do you have?
Nothing.
Nothing. Corey. Mrs. Corey. Dick, you have any more questions? O-A-S-A, Omen, Eddie, U-C-A-N. Say it one time. O-A-S-A, Omen, Eddie, U-C-A-N. What did I just do? I conjugated the present indicative active verb. All right. First person singular is what? I. Second person? You. Third person, he, she, or it. First person plural, we. Second person plural, you all. Third person plural, they. All right, let's get that down. Get it down. It's good to see you back here again. It's good to be back here again. Now we got to gather up all our people and get them all back in here that know that we're meeting again. And we still haven't got the air conditioner fixed, but we got us fixed. We're all back here. Christine, would you mind come up here and dismissing this in prayer, young lady? Good to see you tonight. She got in here Sunday morning and got a little portable heater in here where we could stand it.
Yeah, but it's still chilly. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for tonight, Lord, and I thank you for all the people that are here and for Brother Jim that continually comes and just dissects the word for us, Lord, so we can understand it. And I pray that more people will start coming back and that they'll get the heater fixed and that we'll just continue to be faithful to you and faithful to your word. We ask this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.